Our text for this evening will be in Acts chapter 17, so if you'd like to turn to Acts chapter 17, we'll get to those words in just a moment. The struggle was real. It was not that this young man didn't believe in God and the saving grace of Christ. It was just that he struggled to keep that faith real enough to make a difference in his life. He was considered to be a good kid, a religious kid. But his teenage years brought questions into his life, and his church dismissed them as a lack of faith. He read his Bible. He prayed and he attended worship, but it seemed empty and hollow to him. He really wanted to believe. But now he questioned if everything was true or if religion was simply the opium of the people. What was he to do with a life where his parents had a strong faith, but he was facing a crisis of faith? Did he still believe? Each day brought more of the same doubts, and every Sunday worship service was simply a show so that everyone around him was happy. College gave him freedom to explore different views. At least in college, he felt comfortable, surrounded by others who didn't care about the whole religion thing, or they cared, but only when their parents came to visit. And then his world fell apart. One night he was out at a party with his friends and everything was great. And then on the drive home, the weather was bad. The laughter was loud and his friend who was doing the driving didn't see the deer until it was too late. He expertly maneuvered the car around the deer and missed it, but then drove into the ditch where the car rolled 3 times. Everything happened in slow motion. And yet this young man wasn't clear what happened. One of his friends was gone from the back seat, and his friend who was driving was pinned against the steering wheel. He just sat there, stunned, wondering what was happening. The first responders got there, and soon he found himself in the hospital. But to him, everything was dark. And when he saw his parents, he was overjoyed. But he could see the sadness in their face. He asked about his friends. The one who was thrown out of the car was hurt, but his best friend who was driving was killed. And of the three of them, he had the least amount of injuries. He was able to go to his friend's funeral, and he wanted to talk to his friend's family, but he just didn't know what to say. He sat and he listened to the preacher talk about his friend's childhood and of a young man whose life came to an end too quickly. He wanted to believe that his friend was in a better place. But right then, he didn't know if God was real or what happened after death. This is not a story of one single person. This is a story about what happens to many people who struggle with over the years. Not just young people, but people of every age who want to believe but just feel like they can't anymore. Is faith simply a game? Or is God real? In Acts chapter 17, we find down through the middle of the chapter that Paul made his way to Athens. And Paul was stirred up inside. And here he was walking into a culture that believed in a higher power. But they didn't really know what they believed. They loved to hear new stories about the gods and how they interact with men. But Paul's account centered on Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And for some, it was nonsense to think that God came in the flesh and then died on the cross. Paul had an opportunity to talk to people who were religious but did not know God. They believed, but they really didn't have a conviction of what they believed. But where do you start with a group of people who attest to a higher power but don't accept Jesus Christ as a Savior? Now, we could probably brainstorm. We could come up some ideas on where we would begin. But we need to begin exactly where Paul began. Beginning. Many people, deep within, either believe or want to believe that there is something more than just this life. That there is also something greater than just us. Paul started with their desire to know there is a God and that He is alive. In verses 24 through 26, Luke writes here of what Paul was preaching. And he said, "The God who made the heaven, who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind, and life, breath, everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all over the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling places." When you leave your home every day, whether you're driving to work or whether you are going to school, or whether it's on Sunday and you're heading to the church building and you're going down the same road every time, what do you see? Have you ever noticed anything at all? You know, sadly, sometimes I get to work and I don't know how I got here because I don't remember anything that was behind me. We seem to forget to look out at God's creation. Everything here. Paul is telling these folks that the creation points to the Creator. Everything we see when we look out our windows or we're standing outside points to God. If you're out there at night and you're looking up into the heavens and you're in an area where there's no other ambient light around, and you see all those stars at all points to God. That universe declares a greater power than mankind. And as wonderful and intelligent and powerful as human beings are, we are not creators of planets. By definition, God doesn't need anything to be God. Whether you believe or whether you don't believe in God doesn't change who God is or decrease His existence. Here may be something that might be hard. But instead of needing us, God gives to us. God doesn't need us. He gives to us. This is a fact that many people don't understand today. God is not in need of us, but He longs to give to us
Does it make any sense? Am I making sense? God created this world. He created each of us. And inside of many people is a longing to know God. I want to look at one phrase in verse 27 first. And that phrase is that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward Him and find Him. And that is the English Standard Version. And I like that version. It makes sense to me. It's not strange when you or I, any of us, has some struggles about God. That, if we're looking at what Paul is writing very closely, it's normal. It's normal, according to Paul. But the fact is that we need to understand is that God is not far away. It's not that God moves around in the dark so that we can't find Him. It's that we live in a dark world. We are surrounded by all sorts of stories and myths and religions. And finding God is not easy, and it requires us to seek Him. What kind of got me to this lesson was thinking of John O'Neill and the times that he's been in India trying to reach religious people. A false religion, but a religious people. Idea of feeling and groping and reaching out that is inside of us. We want to be in a relationship with God. And yet, we have trouble learning that. This message of the Bible can even be found in the writings of uninspired poets of Paul's day. Verse 28 says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your poets have said, for we are indeed His offspring." Uninspired men. I wonder where they got that from. Paul's point to the folks that talking to in Athens is that God is not an idol that we can make and we can worship. God is the creator of all life. And God's desire this very day is to give us a life that goes beyond the physical world. The message of the Bible is that even though we've walked away from God, that we have sinned, that God has a plan and a path for us to be able to come back. Verses 30 and 31, Paul said, "The times of ignorance God overlooked. But now He commands all people everywhere to repent, because He has fixed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom He has appointed. And of this He has given assurance to all by raising Him from the dead." These are harsh words from Paul. They are intended to help us to know how to grow, feel, and reach out to God. The message isn't that we are messed up people, because We probably know that already. The message is that we have a Heavenly Father who gave us His Son so that we can live. We have been bought with a promise. God wants us to know the price so that living by faith becomes our spiritual eyes to see the pathway home. The Bible message is sung by children all over the world. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Why don't we ever remember that? Why does it so easily escape us? God loves us all. And He's not angry with us because we may have doubts. But God is alive. Jesus Christ is alive. And the Spirit is wanting to live and move in powerful ways within us. That we open up God's Word and we explore the things He has to offer us. We allow that Spirit to move within us. The message of love is what we need to hear when doubt starts creeping within us. We need to be reminded often of just how precious we are to God. We worry when our children grow up and eventually they're going to be on their own. And we either look forward to phone calls from our children or we dread the phone calls. And none of us ever want to see our children struggle through life itself. Maybe even the way that we make them struggle. But even when we doubt God, even when we can't describe the turmoil that is within us, God does understand. And God wants to reach out to help. He does. So while you may have some doubts, you can never doubt that God does not love each and every one of us with all His heart. The invitation is open for all. If it is your desire to obey the gospel tonight, have your name written in the book of life. Or as we said a couple of weeks ago, knowing that God, that our name is in heaven. And when that day comes and the book is open, your name can be there. And while you are baptized and your sins are washed away, you do not join the Malden Church of Christ. You join Christ's church. And no matter where you go in this world, you will be a member of that church. Whether it is the Church of Christ in this state or in another country, you will still be a member of that church. You will be loved. And through obedience to the gospel and living a faithful life, you can assure that your name will be read on Judgment Day. And that Jesus will tell God that you are one of His. That is a great day. Amen. Maybe you are a child of God, but maybe you've been living with these doubts. Let us help you. We don't want to look at it as a lack of faith. Because if you're asking the questions, you have faith, but you just want the reassurance. Help us to reassure you and pray with you. If there's anyone that has a need, we pray that you come together. We stand and we sing.